Good morning and welcome. And if there are any visitors here, or if you're here for the first time, please join us for tea or coffee, which will be in the foyer today. Our second service at 11:30 is in the Mayo Hall, and tonight at 6:30, Ken Walker will take our service. I have some pastoral news. Margaret Davies moved from Tolworth Hospital to Galsworthy House, which is just up Kingston Hill. And Eddie Keir, one of our foyer users, has been in hospital but is now home. And can we think and pray for Ron Kingham and Phil Thompson, who are having chemotherapy, and Pat Brooks in her ongoing treatment. We also welcome Madge Cole today. It's good to see you again, Madge, back with us. And Kathy left sheets at the back of the church for people who park in Brook Street but do not have an email. So could you pick a piece of paper up, because it's about changes. And please remember the shoeboxes for the shoebox appeal, which are now in the Mayo Hall. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We open our service by saying together the words of number 19 projected on the screen. Let's say it together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. We join to sing, let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King.
Thank you.
We join to pray using the words on the screen and saying them together. Almighty God, infinite and eternal, in wisdom, power, and love, we praise you for all that you are, for all that you do for the world. You have shown us your truth and your love in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We say together, God our Father, we have sinned against you and against one another in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not perish, but have eternal life. To all who repent and believe, we declare in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God grants you the forgiveness of your sins. Thanks be to God. In this service, I want to be talking about the situation of refugees and immigrants. And this is a prayer for them. Loving God, in your house there is room for everyone. Help us as we strive for a world where everyone has a home that truly meets their needs. Give us the grace to welcome strangers and refugees. Give us the insight to see where inequality hurts. Fill us with the courage to do our part. Save us from being overwhelmed by the scale of the crisis. And show us, Lord, where to begin. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We join in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, our first reading comes from Isaiah, and Bethany Burley is going to read it for us.
Thank you. The kind of fasting I want is this: remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear, and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Then my favour will shine on you like the morning sun, and your wounds will be quickly healed. I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. When you pray, I will answer you. When you call to me, I will respond. If you put an end to oppression, to every gesture of contempt, and to every evil word, if you give food to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, for the darkness around you will turn to the brightness of noon, and I will always guide you and satisfy you with good things. I will keep you strong and well. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring of water that never runs dry. Your people will rebuild what has long been in ruins, building again on the old foundations. You will be known as the people who rebuilt the walls, who restored the ruined houses. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading comes from Matthew and will be read to us by Georgina Forbes.
The second lesson is from Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. The final judgment. When the Son of Man comes as king and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Go away from me. You are under God's curse. Away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me. Thirsty, but you would not give me drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and would not help you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refused to help one of these least important ones, you refused to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go on to eternal life.
We join to sing We meet you, O Christ, in many a guise. I want to talk about refugees and immigrants and the issue which is presented to us because of their situation. The pictures of refugees and economic migrants on our screens have been devastating. We have seen the desperation of families to get into Europe and the equal desperation of some countries to keep them out. We've also seen the outflow of human kindness from countless individuals and many countries acting sacrificially to help the refugees. For example, the Lebanese education minister said last week, "We are a country of 4 million, and we have 1.25 million refugees. All we ask for is the money to provide schools for their children." In our church, we have direct experience of people who sought safety from violence. Notably, we have new friends from North Korea who escaped after some of their family were killed. It has been our privilege to welcome them, and they are enriching the life of our community. Andrew Marr, in that series of programs about the history of the world, was moved to say what amazing good luck it was to have been born in the UK. And this thought has surely been underlined by the desperate plight of refugees and immigrants seeking to get into Europe. We find the situation painful and overwhelming. How can we possibly cope? Pope Francis, speaking in the USA this week, said, "We must not be taken aback by their numbers, but rather view them as persons." That could be a cliche, but if you unpack it, it's profound. When Christians say that people are persons, they mean that all people are created in the image of God. And the image of God draws people into three relationships. The first is with God. We believe that God cares for all people and that they are all answerable to Him. And the second is with each other. The possession of God's image means that all humanity who share that image is a single extended family with all the mutual obligations that that entails. And the third relationship is with the world of things. All human beings have a relationship with God's non-human creation, involving a duty of care and a freedom of use. When we look at the refugees and the immigrants on our screens, we may have no difficulty in seeing that they are God's children. I'll just pause while the children make their way. We're saying that all human beings, the third relationship, is that they have a fair share in the non-human creation. That's part of being in the image of God. When we look at the refugees and the immigrants on our screens, I think we have little difficulty in seeing that they are God's children, and not much difficulty in agreeing that they are part of the human family. But we do find it much more challenging to face the claim that they make to a fair share of the goods of the world: access to land, food, houses, and jobs. The refugees and migrants therefore raise fundamental questions for us about the difference of resources between us and them. It's actually about a fair distribution of the resources of the planet. The Bible is largely an account of the people of God as travelers, immigrants, and refugees. In most cases, the God of the Bible is on the side of the immigrants, people on the move. On their journeys, they face some of the questions which now face us, and I think we can learn from the way in which they reacted to their experience of being on the move. We start, obviously, with the experience of Israel in Egypt. There, they were marginalized. They were treated as pariahs. The Jews never forgot that. Every year at Passover, they eat the unleavened bread of affliction and the bitter herbs of slavery to recall that experience. But out of that memory has come the tradition of kindness to strangers. In the first five books of the Bible, there are 36 references to loving the stranger. You'll be not surprised to hear that I gleaned this from Oliver Sacks. I didn't count them myself. In Exodus 23:9, we read, "You know what it is like to be a stranger. You were once strangers in the land of Egypt." Loving the stranger is a fundamental human value in the Bible. It is also a British tradition. Britain welcomed boatloads of children escaping from the Spanish Civil War and Jewish families escaping the Nazis. East African nations came here when racial conflict erupted in their own country. We should not forget also that Jesus' family were refugees. They fled to Egypt to escape violence in Judea. It would be more difficult to do that now, and they would have little chance of being refuge in the UK. The Old Testament also holds out the idea and practice of the integration of immigrants with settled populations. When they come, they settle down. 2,600 years ago, the great prophet Jeremiah wrote this remarkable letter to Jewish exiles in Babylon and Egypt. This is what he said: "Build houses and settle down. Plant vineyards and gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and have children. Seek the peace of the city to which you have been exiled. Pray to God on its behalf, for its peace, for in its peace you will find peace." The prosperity of the UK has been based on successions of immigrants down to and including today. Once the people of Israel were settled in their own country, they had, of course, to deal with new immigrants coming in. Here, Israel's belief in the divine ownership of the world was the key. In other words, the worldly goods we enjoy, we do not own, we merely hold on trust. This opened the door to the remarkable concept of charity as justice. It starts from the idea of the divine ownership of land. "The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. You are strangers and temporary residents with me." Leviticus 25:23. On the back of this came many redistributive measures for the poor, the forgotten sheaf left in the field deliberately, the corners of the field not threshed, the tithe given to the poor, and the absolving of debts in the year of Jubilee. In Israel, as in all societies, there was a constant struggle against injustice and exploitation. In all societies, there have been people who are greedy and seek to accumulate wealth at the expense of everybody else, in our country too. We hear it time and again in the prophets, reminding us how necessary it is to fight for a fair society. The words of Isaiah 58, read for our first lesson, mirror the words of Jesus' parable in the Last Judgment, read for the second lesson. "Is not this the fast that I require, to loose the fetters of injustice, to untie the knots of the yoke, to set free those who are oppressed, tearing off every yoke? Is it not sharing your food with the hungry, taking the homeless poor into your house, clothing the naked when you meet them?" Compare the words of Jesus: "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. when naked you clothed me. Such values, you think, can be taken for granted in a civilized country like Britain. However, in a time when our leaders actually proposed leaving refugees to drown, we can take nothing for granted and need to restate the most basic human values. There is a remarkable book in the Old Testament about an immigrant girl called Ruth. The book is a wonderful story about a refugee family. And if you have the opportunity, do read it. It's a lovely book, and it's not as well known as it should be. It starts with a famine which forced people from Bethlehem to move into Moabite territory. And there their two sons married Moabite women, one of whom was Ruth. But then the father and the two sons all died, and the wife Naomi and her two Moabite daughters-in-law set out to return back to Bethlehem. Naomi then tried to persuade her daughters-in-law to stay in Moab and marry again, marry amongst their own people. And one of them did that. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to go back and desert you. Where you go, I shall go, and where you stay, I shall stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem. And what follows is a love story, starting with Ruth gleaning corn in the field of Boaz, a local landowner. They marry and have a son. The social and theological significance of this story is that that son was the father of Jesse, King David's father, and David was the ancestor of Jesus. It's a remarkable acknowledgement in the Old Testament record of the part played by a Moabite immigrant girl in the history of Israel and the birth of Christ the Savior. What help can we get from the biblical record when we think about the refugees and the economic immigrants seeking to come into Europe? My first conclusion is that we cannot fail to respond. Our situation is changed by what we know. What we have seen and read places a burden and responsibility upon us. Given our faith that all human people are in the image of God, we are bound to do what we can to help. There is an inescapable link between religious faith and human rights. Second, we should rejoice that our country is in a position to help. We have been greatly blessed. We are one of the richest countries in the world. It has been heartwarming to see that British people intend to be way more open and more generous than the initial response of our government. And it's particularly good in Kingston that Kevin Davis, the leader of Kingston Council, wrote to other council leaders urging a generous response. Of course, individually, we can decide how we can help. But I say to you that I think that as a church, we need also to consider how we can add our voice to the voices heard in Kingston supporting a generous response by the borough. And we need to think about how to do that. Overall, the way in which we respond to the desperate situation of these men, women, and children is a test of our humanity, and it will determine what kind of a country we are. To put it another way, how we respond will not be extraneous and it won't be accidental. It will indicate our true nature and the identity of the country we live in. We keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing, "The love of God comes close where stands an open door, to let the stranger in, to mingle rich and poor."
Thank you.
We join to pray for ourselves, for our families and friends, for the country we live in, and for all the people of the world. We thank you, O God, for you are gracious. You have loved us from the beginning of time, and you remember us in times of trouble and of joy. We thank you, O God, for you came to us in Jesus, who has redeemed the world and saved us from our sins. We thank you, O God, for you have sent us your Holy Spirit, who comforts us and leads us into all truth. And so we pray to you for all people everywhere according to their need. Let's pray for the witness of Christians throughout the world, for their unity, for the proclamation of the saving news of the gospel. Strengthen your church in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the nations and peoples of the world, and especially today, for families on the move. We pray for all who serve the common good, for our own country and government, for all in authority. Give wisdom to all in authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those we know and love. We pray for our local community, for our families and friends. Give grace to us, to our families and friends, and to all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And let us pray for all who suffer. Let's pray for the sick, those who mourn, those who have no faith, and those who serve the needy. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us remember all who have died, giving thanks especially for those members of our community who have demonstrated the faith of Christ to us. We commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the witness of your saints in every age and of our friends in this community who have now died, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his friends took bread and gave you thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup and gave you thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. We will recall his life, death, and resurrection by sharing together the bread and the wine. When the bread comes, our custom here is that we receive it and eat it at once. And there are gluten-free bread on the dish that comes round. And when we receive the wine, we hold it and so that we can drink it all together. And the wine is non-alcoholic. The blood of Christ. Gracious God, we thank you that you have nourished us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Renew us day by day, until with all your people on earth and in heaven, we come to fullness of life in your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue our service as we receive our offertory.
Thank you.
Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, "Praise to the living God, all praise be to his name." Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.